I'm on.
I've got to be careful what I say today. Pastor Joshua might get after me. I didn't know you taped these things. I'd have been a little more careful other times. But my wife's not here, so I guess I'll sing a song also. She gets after me sometimes. I love singing. I really do. I just don't know how to sing. But there's a song that kind of goes along with this message a little bit. And it goes, the other night, my heart was burdened heavy for all the lonely souls lost out in sin. And I fell down on my knees and I asked the question, Lord, why can't we bring the wanderers in? And then the question was answered in a way that even I could understand. For you see, the dust from that old altar rail was there up on my hand. Too many knees won't bow down, too many Bibles cannot be found, and yet we wonder why so many of our children go astray. When they've never seen a teardrop fall or heard their daddy pray. And we wonder why so many brothers falter. My friend, there's too much dust upon the altar. I'm going to preach this morning out of the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 17 and verses 8 through 16. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture that you've probably heard preached on numerous times. It has to do with the story, of course, of Moses and Amalek. And the Amalekites were going to come and fight against the Israelites. And the Bible says, beginning in verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's pray. My God and my Father, Lord, I pray that you'd bless this morning and help me, Lord, to preach the way that you'd want me to preach. And dear God, might this message be one that your people could take with them, be better equipped to serve you until you come for us. So God bless now your message in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have here a story of the war with Amalek. The story of this miraculous victory is to be recorded in a book for Joshua. Remember, Joshua's the one out there on the battlefield fighting. It was probably the first war that was recorded in the book of the wars of the Lord, according to Numbers chapter 21 and verse 14. It says, "Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brook of Arnon." Amalek was the first of the nations that Israel fought with, Numbers 24 and verse 20. Now it's amazing that God can grant victory over our enemies. Amen. And I think that it was just as important for Israel to know that God can give victory over enemies as it was the fact that God can give food or water in the desert, or that God could part the Red Sea. I mean, when God parted the Red Sea, that was quite a miraculous event. But God wants us to see here that he could still give victory over enemies. It doesn't have to be something that's earth-shattering. It can be anything. And I think giving the Israelites the victory over the Amalekites right here was shattering. It ought to have been for Joshua. Now, Amalekites were always the enemy to the Israelites. They were the descendants of Esau, or the Edomites. And understand that the victory wasn't won, James, by Israel's cunningness or by their might. It was won by the mighty hand of God. And all the credit was given to God. So I want to look for just a few minutes, or several minutes, or however many minutes it takes me to get through this, about some thoughts. What ministry did Aaron and Hur perform that day as they stayed the hands of Moses? You see, they faithfully lifted a burden for the man of God as he grew tired. You've got a pastor that's on vacation right now. He's probably tired. He has such a burden for Northside Baptist Church. He carries more of a burden than anybody in this auditorium, because he's the man that God called to build this work. But you know what? God called some people to build the work with him. He just happens to be the leader of those particular people. But Aaron and Hur were faithful, and they went up to the top of the mountain with the man of God to help the man of God doing some specific things. The Amalekites came out to fight with Israel, and they, being descendants of Esau, hated Jacob and all of his descendants. It was malice that ran in their blood, and it's still running today in their blood. You see it every day. You see it on the news, how they have killed the Westerners, or want to kill the Westerners, you know. It is in the Middle East in many cases. I'm not saying all the people are bad, you know. I'm not trying to say that. But that's the way their religion teaches them. The devil, understand, hates the church. The devil hates the church. And just as he hated Israel, he hates the church today. So we need people to stand up and take the battle to the devil. And when we take the battle to the devil, the church is going to prosper. The problem is, it's kind of hard to do sometimes. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The devil, from the very beginning, has hated Christianity, has hated God's people. So Israel fights its enemy, which is the Amalekites, and the church fights against their enemy, which is the devil. Well, now the Amalekites were just used by the devil back then to try to get rid of the Jews. I understand that. You understand that. But the church has a great battle going on. But my Bible teaches me that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We know that the church will be spared. The problem is the devil will do everything he can to destroy the church. But guess what? He's not going to destroy it from outside. There's nobody outside of this church that's going to destroy this church. It's only those people that are inside. It's only those people that are inside the church that can hurt the church. So Israel fights their enemies. We've got to fight our enemies. So Moses tells Joshua, choose some men to fight. Choose some men to fight. The pastor's responsibility is to choose those people who will fight with him and not against him. When it comes time for a choir director, you don't just choose anybody. The pastor chooses somebody that he thinks will have his back all the time. When it comes to Sunday school teachers, you don't choose just anybody. You choose people who will agree with you and have your back at all the time. That's the way it works in every church, or supposed to. It doesn't always work that way because sometimes people go a little bit astray and they get discomfited and they get a little their nose out of joint just a little bit because somebody said something bad to them while they were in church. We had a lady that quit coming to church because, well, I better not tell you that. It don't matter. Because somebody said something to her that had nothing to do with church whatsoever. But it don't matter. It's foolishness sometimes in our hearts that cause things to happen. But choose personnel. And so the pastor, his responsibility is to choose people that will help the church to grow. Joshua had to choose some people who were going to fight the battle. He had to choose people who were going out there and fight against the Amalekites and wouldn't turn tail and run. So Moses said, I'll go up and I'll stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. And this is how God qualifies his people for his service. To see if they'll fight in the battles. To see if they'll have the back of the man of God. So Joshua fights. Moses prays. And both of them minister to Israel. Joshua, he fights. He's on vacation, but he fights. You all need to have his back. Amen. You all need to be prayer warriors. Amen. I don't mean just on Sunday. Or on Sunday morning. A lot of people on Sunday morning can give up, stand up and give a big flowery prayer. Well, what do they do on Monday through Saturday? You know, how do you pray Monday through Saturday? But Moses said, I'm going to go up on top of the hill. I'm going to be praying for you. Joshua fights, Moses prays, and they both minister. Moses held up that rod of God, which had summoned the plagues of Israel, remember, or of Egypt, remember, and under which Israel had passed out of the house of bondage. Moses had the rod of God. Now, it's pretty easy to carry the rod of God, but remember when Moses threw the rod down, what had happened? Yeah, a little bit harder to pick it up, isn't it? A little bit harder to pick it up, but Moses did. Moses did. And that rod symbolized what God can do and what God has done. You see, when
Joshua and those fighting men out there on the battlefield, they saw the rod of God up. They knew, hey, God's on the throne. God can take care of the situation. God can fight the battle for us. Amen. How many times has God went to battle for you? How many times has God fought the battle for you? How many times has God brought you through the deep waters? How many times has God defeated the enemy for you? Amen. And it's a whole lot easier when we see the rod of God up for us to keep on keeping on. It's a whole lot easier for us when we begin to recollect how many times God has brought us through the trying times. And these men out on the battlefield, when they looked up there on the top of the mountain and they saw their leader with the rod in his hand and he was praying for them, how it encouraged them to be warriors and to fight the battle. So Moses held that rod up. And I think it really does something for our faith when we reflect about what God has done in our past. My land, it sure helps me to reflect. It helps me to reflect. Just recently, my wife had a stroke. She was laying on the floor when I got home. She called me. I was already at work. So I called the ambulance on the way home, and I beat the ambulance home, and there's my wife laying out. What do you think I thought? Oh, God. She's back to work now. She's back to work. She's still weak. She doesn't have much energy. She's still a little shaky. She doesn't have any much balance. She'll be here tonight. She's teaching Sunday school today at our church, so she had to be there for those ladies to teach the Sunday school. Amen. But she'll be here tonight. She's a godly, godly lady. Don't tell her I said that. She might get the big head. But understand, Joshua's on the battlefield, and he sees the rod. And when we get on the battlefield, it sure does help to see the rod of God. Amen. It sure does help us to see that happen. So Moses held up the rod to appeal to God for some divine intercession. You see, that's what we do when we go to the Lord in prayer. When you men went to the Lord in prayer, and as we was praying out here, we're asking God for some divine intercession. We're asking God, oh God, intercede in our service today. Bless that speaker. Bless your word. And bless those that hear it, oh God. Amen. Intercede for us today and help us during these church services. Moses held up that rod. You see, it's not our battle. It's God's battle. Amen. Do you know that you can't find in the Bible where the Bible says for the lost to come to church? If you can, would you show it to me? You know what it tells us? For the church to go to the lost. The church's responsibility is to go out into this battlefield out here, hand out those flyers for Vacation Bible School, go knocking on doors, invite those people at work, invite your relatives, whatever it might be. It's our responsibility as a church to go to the people of the world and bring them in. I just wonder how often we do that. I suppose, and I'm just guessing, but I believe it to be so, that everybody that's been in this church very long wants this church to grow. Amen. So what are we going to do about it? What do we do about it? Is God able to help? If God's able to help, then how do we get a hold of God? You think just any little prayer is going to help? We need to do some soul searching. We need to do some soul searching and say, oh God, what can I do? I lost a dear friend a few months ago. I preached his funeral. He was the most decorated war hero still alive, or was still alive, in the state of Tennessee. He used to go out door knocking with me. And then he got old enough to where he couldn't hardly walk. So he would take his car and he'd pick us up and he'd drop us off in an area and pick us up in another area. And that's how he went on visitation. That was his job. And then it got to where he couldn't drive a whole lot, but he could pray a whole lot. He could pray a whole lot. You see, and that's how we get a hold of God. We've got to have a heart for the world. We've got to have a heart for lost souls. Not just our family. That's where it starts. But it doesn't end there. It ends out yonder somewheres. God is still able to help. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 51, verses 9 and 10, "Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Awake, awake, O God! Aren't you the one who saved Rahab with the scarlet thread? Are you the one who saved me through the scarlet blood? Are you the one that parted the Red Sea and we were able to go over on dry ground? Awake, awake, O God! We cry out for you today to come and help Northside Baptist Church to bring people in and to go on in this particular ministry. God can and God will do it. There is no doubt in my mind. The devil doesn't want it to happen. And the devil's going to fight you on every hand. And the devil's going to get you discouraged every opportunity that he can. But don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. The devil's not all powerful. Only God is. God can take care of the devil. He has before, and he's going to in the end, isn't he? Amen. But Moses is pleading with God for success and victory in the battle against the Amalekites. And we need to plead with God for success and victory against the devil for Northside Baptist Church. It ought to be, it ought to be a begging. It ought to be a heart-wrenching begging. Oh God, give victory over the devil. You see, when the army goes forth against the enemy, earnest prayers should be made to God. What did Nehemiah do when Sanballat hired people to tell lies against him? What did he do? Immediately, the Bible says he prayed. He started praying. And they built the wall in 52 days. What a massive opportunity. What a massive accomplishment. But it was accomplished only by God. Only by God. And Sanballat and Tobiah, the enemies of the Jews, hired people. But God was able to overcome even that. Earnest prayers need to be made to God. Just like Nehemiah made in building the wall. Just like Moses made in the battle here with the Amalekites. And it's here that the praying support the fighting. Amen. You see, we've got a battle going on. We need to pray for those who are fighting the battles. And it isn't just the pastor that's fighting the battles. It's everybody that's out there doing the work of God. Because you see, when you want to go do the work of God, the old devil's going to fight just a little harder against you. When you want to tell that person at work, hey, why don't you come and visit us? Why don't you come to church and visit us? see what it's like. We'd love to have you. The old devil's going to do something, or the devil might put fear in your heart because, man, I don't know whether I want to talk to him or not. I don't know whether I want to talk to her or not. They're pretty grouchy. Amen. But you see, the praying supports the fighting, and this combined effort needs to be going on while the battle's raging. Amen. They stood by the man of God as leading the people through a battle. In verses 10 and 12, there in chapter 17, the Bible says this: So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So they went up to the top of a mountain. He was leading the people through a battle. Your pastor is leading through a battle till Jesus comes. You need to help him to fight. You need to lift up his hands. It's always important to support the prayer warriors too. Some of you might not be able to go out door knocking and walk the streets and stuff like that. But I don't suppose there's anybody here that can't pray. Yes. That can't talk to God. Moses and Aaron and Hur, they went up the hill. And Moses was praying. Hur, Joshua, and Aaron helped in the battle. Moses got tired. Moses got tired. Well, he had faithful men with him to share the burden. They took a stone and put it down where Moses could stand, sit on it. I haven't done any research on that rod, but how would you like to just hold your hands up? This went on all day. This went on all day. Have you ever tried to hold your hand out like this and just see how long you can hold it out? Amen. You see? I mean, you can hold it for a while, but it gets heavy. It gets heavy. And Moses had the rod in his hand, and it went on all day. And Moses got tired, and they brought a stone for him to sit upon. They stayed his hands, one on each side, and it went on all day long. The going down of the sun, the Bible says. This day's battle was won, but there'll come another. There'll come another. The Amalekites won't quit. They prayed for Joshua and the soldiers as they fought for victory, according to verse 11. Only as Moses prayed did Israel win. Only as you pray will your church win. Only as you lift up Northside Baptist Church in your prayers will Northside Baptist win. Only as you lift up your pastor in prayer will your pastor win. Amen. It's our responsibility as men and women of God to be prayer warriors, to pray for the battle that's going on. So they prayed for Joshua, and they prayed for the soldiers who fought in the battle. Intercessory prayer, one for another. When Moses' hands were let down, the enemy prevailed. When they were up, you've heard the story. Israel prevailed. And that's the same way it is in the church today. Same way it is in the church today. What a great influence the rod of Moses had upon the battle. All this to convince Israel that the hand of Moses contributed more to their safety than their own hands. You realize that? The hands of Moses contributed more to the safety of the fighting men than their own hands did with their weapons in it. You see, because Moses' hands, when they were up, they won. When they were down, they lost. All this to show that. All this to convince them. The rod was more important than the sword. The rod. The sword. Amen. It's what we fight with. Prayer and a sword. Pray for the Lord to intercede for us. Use the sword of God, sword of the Lord, to fight against the world. God will give us the victory. The care that was taken for the support of Moses, his men cared for him. His men cared for him. They saw that he was tired. They placed a rock there for him to sit upon. They lifted his hands, one on each side, and held up his hands so the battle could be won. When he could no longer hold his hands up, they were there for him. Moses, the man of God, is glad for the assistance of Aaron, his brother, and Hur. I think that we should not be shy of asking help or giving help. You see, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is both to us our Joshua, who will fight the battle, and the captain of our salvation. And he's also our Moses, whoever lives, to make intercession for us. Christ to fight our battles, and Christ goes to God the Father in our behalf. Yes. He goes to the Father in our behalf. He's our intercessor.
Amen.
He's our lawyer. He's our go-between. So understand this. Without the Lord, the battle's the devil's. But when we're on our knees, the battle belongs to our church through the Lord. Fight for it. You can fight on your knees better than on your feet. We should never be shy at asking for help. Peter prayed. The Bible says that as the Lord prayed for Peter, he said this: "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat." What did he say? "But I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now that's strange. It's in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, "When thou art converted." But see, Peter was already saved. He's not talking about when thou art converted as far as salvation is concerned. He's talking about, Peter, when you get the burden that you ought to have for your fellow men and for your ministry. And folks, I'm here to tell you today that when we become converted, the battle will be the Lord's.
Amen.
When we have that burden that Jesus Christ has, when we have that burden to be on our knees and to pray. You see, these men put their faith in the power of God to give the victory. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought. Will you do as your pastor preaches to you? And fight Fight the battle for the church. Fight the battle for Northside Baptist Church. Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill with Moses. And because they were up there praying, the Bible says Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people. In other words, he whipped the tar out of them. Just, you know, Eastern Tennessee vernacular. Then he said, write this for a memorial. Write this down. I don't want anybody to forget what's taking place here. You write it down so that we can read about it through history until Jesus Christ comes. How that God got the victory over the Amalekites because of praying people and fighting people. God got the victory. And I'll tell you this morning, because of praying people and fighting people of Northside Baptist Church, God once again can get the victory. If you'll do it. If you'll do it. The battle belongs to the Lord. Oh, write this down so we can remember. Folks, tell your children about the things that God's done for you. Share with them all the things that God has blessed you with. Share with them all the blessings that God has given to you. See, then Moses built an altar. He gave God all the credit. Amen. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my... That's a reference to the rod of God being lifted up and the victory being given. Just as Aaron and Hur, God does have a place for everybody. God has a place for everybody. He's got a place for all of us to minister. Make sure that today you give to God all the credit. Reserve none for yourself. Amen. And hit your knees and dust off the altars, because you're here praying. Not just for yourself, not just for your family, but for your church and your pastor. Amen. They need it. Will you do it? It's your choice. Your choice. One place I fail miserably in my life is in my prayer life. I pray. I pray every day. But I don't pray like I ought to. I don't pray as much as I ought to. I fail there, and I suppose that most of us could say the very same thing. So why don't we change that? Why don't we change that and get a burden to be prayer warriors? Because a prayer warrior is just as much as a fighting warrior, just as important as a fighting warrior out there on the battlefield. Amen. Let's go to battle. Let's go to prayer first. My God and my Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I pray, dear God, that you would bless it. Lord, that it would not return void. I pray, Lord, that you would bless now. During this invitation time, that you would touch hearts and lives, and dear God, that you would put within each one of us a burden to fight the battle and to pray for the battle and to pray for those that are in the battle. So, oh God, bless now. I ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.